Welcome back to the third hour of the KFAK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Glad you're here. Saturday mornings, 5 to 8, every Saturday on KFAK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Well, you know, the biggest trout, the biggest cutthroat trout anywhere exist in Pyramid Lake, Nevada, about 35 to 40 miles north of the Reno Sparks area. And a guy that fishes it diligently, Mr. Doug Willett, joins us now. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Bob.
So, it seems like all around California, starting with earlier salmon runs, continuing with the current steelhead runs, that we're getting some pretty good-sized fish, but there's not a lot of them. What's going on at Pyramid Lake?
Well, Pyramid's about the same, Bob. We're getting some really nice fish. This last week was one of the best I've ever known for a January. But it's been the warmest January we've had. Last year was warm also. Fish are even starting to stage to spawn already.
So, wow. Yeah, that usually happens when? In March, Doug?
Yeah, February. Early February, March usually. We're a couple weeks ahead. The water temps have been around 47 degrees, and they're usually about 4 or 5 degrees cooler than that at this time. So the water's a little warmer.
Okay. Now, but the weather has cooperated. Usually you don't get a ton of boats out there in January, but this year with nice weather, that's changed a little?
Yeah, we've had some high pressure and low winds most of the days. We have had some, wind events, but most of the weather has been pretty calm, and the boaters have done pretty good trolling. They're trolling about 100 feet behind the boat in about 25 to 35 feet of water. They're trolling about a mile and a half speed, and plugs like flatfish, the crack frog flatfish.
Uh-huh.
And they've been doing really well.
Okay, so is the 25-foot depth, is that what they stay at? Do they vary at what?
Between 25 and 35 is what they've been catching their fish. Yeah, and they're really not suspending way out in the lake. They're mostly within that range, that depth.
Okay, so what you're saying is they may be 25 to 30 feet deep, but as opposed to earlier, they're not out in the middle of the lake. They're kind of staging closer toward shore?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Before they'd go out in super deep water and run it down there 35 or 40. But now the fish are starting to come in, Bob, and about every day they'll come into the shore. So the shore anglers, the fly fishermen, the spin fishermen, they're picking up some really nice fish. We released 4 fish over 10 pounds yesterday, me and
wow,
a couple of guys.
Well, didn't you catch a 17-pounder, Doug?
Yes, on Wednesday, 17, 9 ounces. And yesterday we released a 16.8 was our biggest.
Oh, my goodness. So we
amazing.
Haven't talked a while, and the bank fishermen consistently catch the bigger fish because that's the pre-spawn ritual of the bigger fish. How big a fish are the boat fishermen catching?
Well, you ask, in the week before last, a guy caught a 28.5-pounder. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was a nice fish. I think he was at 40 feet deep when he caught that one. But it's the biggest fish I think I've ever seen out there. It's 28 pounds.
I haven't heard. A couple of years ago, we were breaking that 24-pound barrier. Everybody then was talking about breaking the 30-pound barrier, which still isn't close to the 41-pound record from the 1920s. But a 28-pound cutthroat trout is nothing to be sneered at. My goodness.
It's a tremendous animal. Yeah, I think he kept it. It looked like he did. He had it in the boat with a really big plug. The plug was probably about 10 or 12 inches long. that he was using.
Big lure, big fish, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, you're using, is the popcorn beetle, the fly, still the thing to go to, Doug?
That's what we like to use. There's other flies that work. But most of the big fish that we've got off the beach have been off the popcorn beetle. Also, two-chub patterns are working really well. So if you have a favorite bait fish pattern, that would be a good choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, the way you fish the popcorn beetle, because it's buoyant, it's a foam fly that you tie. Explain the process.
Well, we use different weights of shooting heads, from about a 250 grain to a 400, mostly about 300 and 350 grain heads, and about 6 to 8 feet of water is where we're fishing. We want to get down to the bottom because our fly line will be on the bottom, and then that buoyant beetle is popping up, you know, off the bottom there, wherever you tie it off from your leader to your fly line. So if you have about 2 feet to your beetle, for instance, it's going to be up there about a foot off the bottom as you're retrieving. Uh-huh. And the important thing at Pyramid is to vary your retrieve. Start out maybe super slow and then speed it up and mix it up, you know, mix up the rhythm and the cadence. And that seems to be a good thing to do.
Okay, just mix it up. And it's okay just to let it sit there for a little bit too, right?
Yeah, I got a nice fish last week just on the no retrieve. I call it the no retrieve. You cast, you let your line sink, keep tight with your line, and then, you know, sometimes you'll be looking the other way and boom, take off. So when you do get a retrieve, try to remember what you did and try to repeat it. And it's harder than people think, because a lot of times you get bored and you're retrieving and you don't know what you did and you hooked one. So, you know, try to kind of remember what you're doing, you know, when you're retrieving, because that really helps. Yeah.
Okay. That's the method right there. And where can we get these popcorn beetles and other flies at work, Doug?
Well, they did carry them at the lodge there. They're no longer carrying them there. I think the Reading Fly Shop, it would be a good place. You know, now, you know, today's times, you can mail order just anything. I would probably go to the Reading Fly Shop, the fly shop in Reading, and they carry the popcorn beetle. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else for that matter that you would need. And then those small minnow patterns, the little foam minnow type thing, anybody's favorite bait fish pattern is a good choice right now.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you once again for the lesson, Doug. I appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Have a good
day. All right. Doug Ouellette. You want to see the technique. You can see it on his website, PyramidLakeGuideService.com. Okay? And Doug's number, he's not guiding, but what he's doing, because he sets so many people up, he continues to do that. You call Doug, you tell him what you want to do, he's got the perfect person, and it doesn't cost you one nickel more than as if you go to the guide himself, okay? His number is 775-722-2267. After the break, we'll talk to Jay Kelly from Hooked in Ione about several foothill reservoirs. Right now, I want to tell you about Sierra Nevada Tire and Wheel. Of course, these people know tires. I've been dealing with them now for over 16 years. Mechanical issues, I don't care what it is, they fix it. They can diagnose it. They fix it. They talk with each other. They do a good job. They back it up. If something goes wrong with a repair, you're in there and out of there, it's fixed. So, that being said, their website is really kind of an encyclopedia on tires and everything that they have. You go to their website and you go over and there's an about. Underneath about, there's news center. And in the news center are little articles, how to choose the right tire. Don't laugh. I mean, a lot goes into it depending on how you use it. Common auto heating and cooling issues, a great article. How to extend the life of your brakes. How to improve your car's fuel economy. How to inspect your tires for wear. So all that happens on the website. And for whatever tire you want, they have got them. All the major brands. Sierra Nevada Tire has them. Okay? You just can't go wrong. Good people. Good people are hard to find these days. Sierra Nevada Tire and Wheel have good people, both at Pollock Pines and Placerville. Pollock Pines is open Monday through Friday, Placerville Monday through Saturday. Go to their website, sierranevadatire.com. Welcome back. Well, I keep referring to it as the great new tackle store in Iowa, and actually, it's 2 years old, but it's going strong. It keeps getting better and better. They keep inventory well stocked. In fact, they're just doing that right now, and the owner is Jay Kelly, and he joins us with a little information on local waters. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's nice to see a possibility of a real rain come, don't you think?
I think the lakes really, really need it. A lot of these lakes are pretty darn low.
Yeah, they are. Every little bit helps, as they say, so let's hope this is a good one. But there's still there's fishing going on in almost all the lakes. Some of them have better fishing than others. You keep an eye on all the foothill lakes and even Rancho Seco. Let's start with that. What's happening out of Rancho Seco?
Well, Rancho Seco right now, they've actually had a pretty good bite, you know, from the shore. And a lot of people are just, you know, sticking with the traditional garlic power bait and night crawler then soaking the night crawler in some scent. They just keep it simple. And that's what people have been doing at Rancho Seco. And they've been catching some nice fish there.
Yeah, they have a pretty good planning program there as well. Yeah.
They do. They do have a pretty good planning program.
You know, odd that, you know, here that's in Sacramento County, and you can camp in your RV there, but you can't camp in your RV in Calaveras County.
In Calaveras County, you know, with Lake Comanche being in two counties, South Shore and Calaveras and North Shore and Amador, camping is open on the North Shore of Comanche now. I just spoke to them, and their marina hours have changed a little bit, but camping is back open on the North Shore.
Yeah, and that's good, but not on the South Shore, which just, you know, it's another good example. I don't want to get into this, but it's another good example of how we have the wrong people making bad decisions in a lot of these counties. I mean, Calaveras was one of my favorites when they said, even though you sleep with your wife every night in the spring, if you go out on a boat, you have to go by yourself. You can't take your wife. Now, maybe that was from some disgruntled supervisor or county officer, I don't know, but a lot of bad decisions coming out of Calaveras County.
That sounds like somebody who just wanted to fish by themselves.
I know. Anyway, what about down at New Malonis? I know they've been catching a fair amount of decent-sized planters, you know, 14 to 16, maybe 17 inches.
They have. In the main body of the lake at New Malonis, they've been catching the planters, a lot of Rapalas and Speedy Shiner, GVF type of lures. Rapalas have been working really well at Malonis. If you want to go for the bigger and target those bigger browns, you need to kind of head into some of those coves. But the main body, you're going to get a lot of planters there.
Yeah. And you mentioned the GVF. Now, some people I know are using the I think it's called the spinner bug. And, you know, like Robbie Dunham, he likes to troll Speedy Shiners.
He does. And
that's about 3 miles an hour. Then he also fishes grubs about 1.5 miles an hour. But tell us what they're doing with the spinner bug.
Well, it's the Speedos is what's kind of really been active right now. That spinner bug has been for the kokanee, but the Speedos right now is kind of an equivalent to the Speedy Shiner. It's a 2.8 to 3.0 mile an hour, and then they have the mini Speedo, which you can actually troll slow with out with a grub. Like you put a mini Speedo on one pole and a grub on another. And it's kind of nice because then you get a spoon that's slow that can go at the same speed as the grub. So you kind of better your idea and your chances.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Comanche itself, we have a little grass issue that fouls the hooks. But aside from that, they're still getting fish.
Oh, yeah, they're getting fish. And they're also planting. They're up to 3,600 pounds since January 1st at Lake Comanche. They just planted yesterday. They put 600 pounds also in the pond there on the south shore. And then also put 600 pounds at the south shore ramp down there. Yeah. So, again, everything there is top 10 to top 12 feet of water at Lake Comanche is where they're catching them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go up from the dam to the bridge, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said earlier in the program, you can catch a trout anywhere in Comanche, but about where you said, clear on down to the dam, there's fish spread out in that big lake, so it's kind of fun to go hunting them.
They are, yeah. You know, head to the narrows, too. I mean, and once you get a hookup, you know, I hear people and they have people come in, they go, you know, I caught one fish today. Well, when you hook that fish up, turn around and go right back through that spot because those trout tend to stack on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, if you got they've one been, there, go back, you'll get another.
They've been together for a couple of years, and when they get in a lake, they stay together.
They do. They stack on top of each other, so.
Yeah. Hey, what do you hear on New Hogan Reservoir, stripers? Anything going on there?
You know, the striper, of course, it's all just pretty much a striper lake at this point, but Kytex with underspins has just really been producing some stripers out of there.
Okay.
A little 3.3 Kytex Tennessee shad or silver flash minnow with an underspin has been producing some stuff out of there.
Yeah. That's interesting. A lot of people just go to that lake and roll shad.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. For those on the boat that just want to keep casting, you know, they've been using those Kytex, but otherwise, you know, they're rolling, you know, like you say, rolling shad or anchovy, sardine.
Yeah. What's the average size, like 3 pounds, 3 to 4 pounds?
That's right, yeah, 3 to 4 pounds. This has been pretty much the average striper coming out of there. There have been people that have caught some nice, you know, lot larger, but the average size is 3 to 4 pounds.
Okay. We're going to get a report
on fish too.
yeah. I'll say, we're going to get a report from Robbie Dunham in about 15 minutes on Amador. So I won't bother you there, but, is there anything else that's kind of starting to wake up, Jay, that we should pay attention to?
Well, I think, you know, with kokanee season coming up and Pardee's going to be waking up here on February 12th.
Yeah.
So once that opens up, parties will be pretty busy with, you know, people going out and trying to catch that early coke. And then also their trout season will open up for them February 12th.
Well, let's hope that the kokanee are a little bit bigger this year. That last year was pretty disappointing.
It was, you know, in the beginning of the season, they tend to be a little on the smaller side. And then, you know, as the time goes on in the season, you know, you tend to get a little bit bigger ones. But early in the season, they were, you know, 8 to 10 inches.
Well, they must be a very, very difficult fish to manage because the Department of Fish and Wildlife never quite has got it right yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That goes back to who's supervising what, I guess. But who
knows? I guess so. Okay, Jay, real quick, what are your hours and days open at the store?
Well, the only day that we're closed is Monday. That's our family day. Otherwise, Tuesday through Friday, we're open from 8 to 6, Saturday, Sunday, 8 to 4. And then you
Very
can check
good.
Us out on our website, hookedforlife.com as well.
Hookedforlife.com. Okay. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bob. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jay Kelly. Here's his number, 209-790-5100. After the break, Mr. Terry Knight talking about Clear Lake. Welcome back. Well, one of my all-time favorite people, Terry Knight, joins us now from Lake County. Terry, of course, has been reporting on the outdoors for just about, what's 200 or 300 years now, and he's been doing a great job. Writes an article for the Lakeport paper, the I think it's the Record or the Record Bee. Also does a radio show over there. He keeps himself busy. He knows everything about Lake County. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Terry, wouldn't you know it, just as the weather rolls in, the shops get a supply of jumbo minnows.
Yeah. Same as up here. They just got some finally.
Yeah,
And wintertime is when jumbo minnows are really effective.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I told you about that. Don Paganelli going over with some friends in two boats and getting 60 fish in a day, and an awful lot of those were in the 4 to 6 pound range, so that's about as good as it gets. But, you know, we need the water desperately, especially Clear Lake. So hopefully this rain will pan out. Generally, how's the fishing been the last couple of days?
It's typical winter fishing now. It's slow for bass, you know, and guys are struggling to put 5 or 6 fish in a boat for a day trip.
Yeah.
One guy I know who's really a good tournament fisherman here, he was pre-fishing for the tournament he's in today here, and he's been out every day, and he's, I think the most he's ever gotten was 6 fish in one trip. And
wow, that's tough. That's tough.
It's tough.
Too bad those boys can't use jumbo minnows, huh?
Yeah, it would be deadly for them, I'll tell you. But what's really gone crazy is the crappie fishing.
Yeah, now we have to explain. This is winter crappie fishing. You don't seek out a nice bush along the shoreline this time of year. They're out suspended. Tell us how they go about getting them.
Well, there's a guy here. He's almost a strictly crappie guy, really good. Name is Ed Legan. He's been getting his crappie. He's been getting anywhere from 85 to 150 crappie a day for his clients. And some of them are well over 2 pounds. They're big. They're really getting bigger.
Wow.
And he's getting them right dead in the middle of the lake. And so nobody, you look out and you see, what in the world is that boat doing sitting out in the middle? Is he broke down or what? No, he's fishing for crappie.
Yeah.
And it's very, very effective. And, of course, you know, typically in Minnesota, Michigan, and those states, crappie are the big winter bites over there because they ice fish for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the same here now. The problem here is we don't have a lot of fishermen up here right now. COVID thing has really pulled the fishing back.
Yeah.
And I understand that. These people are afraid to come up here. Afraid to catch it, you know, and the other bad part is the big stumbling block for the people staying in the motels. They have nowhere to eat because all the restaurants are shut down. They can only eat outside only, and in this type of weather, nobody wants to sit out and eat.
That's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, when people don't know what to do, they do foolish things, and that's one of them. These people put all the money into buying these tents completely enclosed. It's no different than eating inside. It's just the whole thing's stupid. I'll be so glad when it's over. Anyway, hey, let's turn our attention just for a second from the lake to the deer. I mean, the wildlife, because of the fires, the closures by the National Forest and BLM to hunting this year, as far as I'm concerned, Fish and Wildlife should refund everybody's deer tag license because we couldn't hunt anywhere. But what happened? Was there a big loss of deer? What's going on with the deer herds over there?
They don't really know if there's a big loss of deer. From what I understand, it's not a big loss of deer. People are still seeing quite a few deer up in the Mendocino National Forest. In those areas, the hunting pressure was down to nothing. I talked to one game warden. He drove all the way from Upper Lake to Lake Pillsbury. That's about 25, 30 miles.
Yeah.
On back roads up there, and saw
saw one hunter. This was during the season, and very few deer. He just, but the deer, I think what's happened is the reason the deer take was down so much here is I think that it's more of a lack of hunters than deer right now, because people just the people just aren't hunting, and for a number of reasons. I think it's getting awful expensive to hunt. You know, licenses are going through the roof.
It's just
too expensive for people to hunt up here anymore. It's everywhere.
I know. But you know, Lake County has just been plagued with these terrible fires, and we all know why. I mean, we can talk about climate change all you want. And sure, a day that's 2 or 3 degrees warmer on the average is going to burn a little hotter fire, but it's not going to stop what's going to happen because of the fuel in the forest that has not been burned off, or that you can't use herbicides anymore. You can't use a control burning to an extent. Everybody's complaining about those things. The Forest Service and BLM don't have the money or the manpower to trim like they used to. So I don't see any change for this year, do you?
I don't see much change this year. I don't think you're going to I don't see any change for the next 3 or 4 years, to be honest with you. And I think for hunting, it's the one good part was this year during the fall season was the fall turkey hunting was unbelievable. Everybody got their turkey.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That was good, which bodes good for the spring season this year coming
up. And another thing, you know, Terry, another thing about these fires that we have to throw in there, I mean, all the fires Lake County's had the last 2 or 3 years, that is all going to be developing into prime, not only deer habitat, but upland game and everything else.
No, it's a, like I say, you just drive anywhere around the back roads here, even down around Lake Fort and these areas, you'll see turkeys. You'll see turkeys standing there in the fields and stuff. So the turkeys are it. One other thing that surprised me this year was how good the duck hunting was on Clear Lake. The duck hunting was really, really good this year. The guys I talked to, they were really happy.
So what do they do? Just hide their boat in a, in the tules in some uninhabited portion and set out some decoys?
Yeah, exactly. What they do. They have their boat camouflaged up, and they'll put out maybe 40, 50 decoys. The ducks they're getting are mostly mallard, and they're getting some wood ducks, and then they get quite a few teal also.
So,
but they're doing really well on that. And, of course, the duck season ends next weekend, so... So it's been good for that on it, and I like saying it's a, but when you look at this now, the drought and stuff, nearby Lake Mendocino is nothing but a big mud flat now.
Really?
Terrible. Oh my God! You drive by it on Highway 29 going to Ukiah from Lake County, you can't believe what you see. And Lake Pillsbury, I think, is only at about 27% capacity. So these areas are all really, the drought has really had a massive effect here.
Terry, I can't have you on without asking a final question. How's the mountain lion situation over there?
People are seeing mountain lions every day up around here. The mountain lions, mountain lions are starting, this is the time of the year, they start moving in around the residential areas because they're looking for food.
Yeah.
They're looking for deer, actually, is what they're looking for. And the mountain lion, population is strong here.
Terry, thanks for filling us in, and we'll talk more about your crappie friend in the future, okay?
Sounds good. Okay, take care, Bob.
Thanks, Terry. Bye-bye. Terry Knight calling from Lake County, so... Yeah, the mountain lion problem, it's a real problem, but nothing will ever be done as long as Gavin Newsom is governor, because his father was instrumental in helping tag mountain lions and getting Proposition 117 passed. So what problems we have with mountain lions will only get worse. All right, after the break, Robbie Dunham, how to fish Lake Amador. Don't go away. Robbie Dunham of Coke Machine Guide Service has been fishing Lake Amador, getting some nice fish at Amador. He joins us now to give us details. Hi, Robbie. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning to you. First of all, I got to ask you the obvious. It might be getting a little crowded at Amador. That lake's got to be down without any rain.
Yeah, it's down 38 feet the last time I checked. And when you get 20 boats, 25 boats out there, yeah, it does get a little crowded.
Yeah. But you've been getting your fish. Now, what are you doing to get your fish?
Well, I've been having trouble keeping them on the grub, so I've actually switched over to the jointed 7 Rapalas, and been doing very well with those.
Okay.
The GFR, Gold Fluorescent Red, and the Fire Tiger have been my top two producers.
Okay. And that's the size 7?
Yes, the J7, the jointed 7s.
Okay,
I've been running them about 1.4 to 1.6 and going fast enough to get a nice little wobble out of that thing, and the fish have been in, really liking them.
Yeah, well, that's a tantalizing speed for that jointed one, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So how deep are you going, Robbie?
I'm still keeping everything in the top 8 feet. The water temperature has been anywhere from 49 to 53 degrees.
And how far back are you running it from the boat?
A minimum of 100 feet. I'll run anywhere from 100 to 150. Then when the boat starts showing up, then I start shortening things up, or you will make a lot of friends.
One way or the other. One way or the other. What size fish are you getting there?
We got an Amador Gold that was pushing 5 pounds on Wednesday. But typically they're all between 2 to 3 pounds.
Okay. So nice fish, though. Good quality fish.
Beautiful fish. Full tails, beautiful colors. Yeah. Just beautiful fish.
Okay. What's the latest on Comanche real quick?
Comanche's been a little slow still. I think that water needs to warm up. There's been some grass and debris in the water that you have to keep cleaning lines every now and then. But there's a few fish. They did do a plant, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Of 600 pounds in the pond and 600 pounds in the South Shore ramp.
Okay. Well, you know, Comanche's a funny lake. You can't go fishing for 3 hours and leave. That's one thing, because who knows what happens at 1 o'clock, right?
Well, you know what? That's funny you said that, because even at Amador and Comanche, my bites have been picking up after 11, 12 o'clock until about 3. So when the sun is on and it does warm that surface temperature up, I think it does get the fish on a little more of a bite than it does early morning when it's super cold.
Yeah. Robbie, thanks for calling in. You're catching your fish. You're catching limits for your customers, and Comanche's only going to get better. That's good news. Have a good week out there.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob.
Okay, Robbie. Robbie Dunham, Coke Machine Guide Service. You want to learn how to catch trout and kokanee out of these lakes? That's who you go with. 209-712-6611. We didn't have time to bring you a report from Al Kutsky, but he's getting, it's a fish a day up on the Chetco. Kurt Porter Carrero is doing good catching bass up at Lake Shasta and a few trout, but he's bass fishing. Here again, the best times is about 11 to 2 to catch bass, and he's fishing down as deep as 40 feet. And he's got he's catching fish. He's doing a good job there. His number, 800-670-4448. He's perfect type of fishing for families or a small group up to 3 and 4 people. Well, tomorrow's the anniversary, the 173 year anniversary of the Gold Rush by James Marshall at Coloma. And I just to go back in time for a brief second, here's what people had to go through. One gentleman came out in 1852, didn't make it gold mining. He went into some hard goods. He sent for his wife from Pennsylvania. She got to the East Coast, took a steamer to Panama, across Panama on muleback, took a steamer up to San Francisco, then a paddle wheel boat to Sacramento, rode the stage to Coloma, and perched on a freight wagon to get up by Georgetown, a woman alone in 1853. Have a good week, everyone.